Hello out there, and welcome to season 5 of Your Next Mission Video Podcast. And I am super excited about this one. Today, we're celebrating the Army's 249th year birthday with two very special leaders from the Army's Training Doctrine Command, known as TRADOC. The command team will share TRADOC's priorities and programs and how they are working to strengthen the profession. Join us in our celebration. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
A special shout out to all of our veterans, service members, and families for watching today. Thank you for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision and USAA, together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and family. I say it every week. We love them, too. We have an incredible show today. We'll be celebrating the 249th year birthday of the United States Army with the command team of TRADOC. And I'm excited to introduce General Gary M. Brito and Commanding General and CSM Raymond N. Harris, Command Sergeant Major of the United States Army Training and Doctrine Command, also known as TRADOC. Thanks for joining us on the show, and I'm just thrilled to have you.
Hey, thank you so much, Sergeant Major Tilley, and we share your excitement, not only for the Army's birthday, but just for the opportunity to have this discourse today. Thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate it. And I I'm pumped up. Anytime I get to talk to two great leaders, I'm excited, really excited. I'm covered on my chair anyway. So, hey, before we get into the show, would each one of you tell the audience a little bit about yourself? And, sir, we'll start with you.
Hey, thanks, Sergeant Major. I like to say I'm a regular guy, and I mean that with all sincerity. And also, I'm very happy to be a U.S. Army soldier, infantry soldier by trade. I'm a full repeater in Training and Doctrine Command, so I feel extremely privileged and blessed just to be here today. I've been in command now about 19 months, actually. Last week, I crossed 19 months, and it's moving faster than I want. I very much enjoy working with the teammates that I have, one of which is my battle buddy to my left, your right. I've been in over 3 decades, I'll put it that way. Not quite 4, but over 3. And happy to serve. From Hyannis, Massachusetts, married. My wife has also been with me the entire time I've been in the Army. I have 2 sons. One's a GS civilian here in Virginia, and one's an Army captain stationed in 25th ID in Hawaii. Apache pilot is doing his own thing. I've been very blessed. And so it's just my wife and I and the dog here in Fort Eustis, and love being on the team. I'll turn it over to my battle buddy.
Hey, Sergeant Major, go ahead. Yeah.
SMA, thanks as always. You say, you know, we're getting you fired up. You get us fired up every time. You know, when you talk and smile and you keep going, you're doing what NCOs do, and really appreciate that. So excited to be back on this podcast again and really kind of inform and give what TRADOC's doing. But I'm Ray Harris. I'm the 17th TRADOC Sergeant Major. Been in the position for about going on 9 months now, you know, as I came from other assignments, and been doing this for about 28 years from just south of Virginia, or I guess north of Virginia, New Jersey, you know, from South Jersey, and loving life and what we do here. The impact that this organization has is really kind of, you know, reinvigorated, shaped me going forward as we do this as a team to make the Army better. And, you know, like General Brito, you know, been married going on 23 years this year. I got my son who's in college, just finished his freshman year doing ROTC in Embry-Riddle up in Prescott, Arizona. So I'm doing my part to put an officer into the Army, you know, giving up one of my children. My daughter is 16, finishing up her sophomore year in high school, who does JROTC, and we think she's going to join the service also, just depending on what she goes on the enlisted side or the officer side. But, you know, it's the military is something that's near and dear to my heart and my family's heart. We've been doing this for such a long time and couldn't be more excited about, you know, the 249th birthday of our United States Army. So So thanks, Sesame.
You know, I was reading the other day about them bringing older people like myself back into the Army to do certain things. So I just want to let you know, if you hear anything about that, more about that, I'm here for you. So just let me know. Hey, the Army's birthday is a very special day for all of us, especially all of us that serve. Can each one of you tell us what the Army birthday means to you? And again, sir, we'll start with you.
Well, thanks, Sergeant Major. I think it's an appropriate time for soldiers, all components, any rank, any pay grade, to sit back and take a look at the Army's rich history. If you think about it, it should resonate with soldiers that are wanting to join, soldiers that are serving. You can look back and see the character and the professionalism of all of the soldiers that have served over these soon to be 249 years and all of our conflicts. And Sergeant Major, and not to get too geeky on you, but kind of what it means to me is you see the camaraderie and you see that purpose on why we serve to support this great country of ours. And not to say that's the big yellow bumper sticker that everybody needs to follow, but if you understand the history that brought you here, that perhaps paved that path to where we stand today, I think you can resonate with that and also forecast it into what you're going to do while you're serving to build the next decades of our great United States history, our United States Army history. So that's what it means to me. And of course, one, having been in for so long and as now blessed to be a general officer, you really need to understand that. But thanks for the opportunity to discuss that.
Yeah, you know, one thing I tell everybody all the time, the Army changed my life. It allowed me to do so many things, and I love every bit of the Army. I'll always be a soldier till the day I die. So, Major Harris, same question to you. What does the Army birthday? What does the Army birthday mean to you there?
Yeah, no, thanks, Ismi. And General Brito hit it right on the head, and it really is too. It's a celebration of past and present warfighters that kind of gave us the freedoms that we have today. And so anybody that knows me knows that I am a super highly optimistic, glass overruns with optimism and positivity. And that's why I said celebration, not a remembrance, right? Because we're celebrating those that came before us that gave us the rights and the freedoms today.
Yeah.
And we've been doing it for 249 years, and we'll continue to do it. And so we're, celebrating them, vice remembering them and being somber, I think, is the right way to take a look at it. Because those are the shoulders, that we continue to pile on as we go forward to protect this country. So that's kind of what it means to me, celebrating our warriors.
Yeah. So, hey, sir, would you tell us, tell the audience a little bit about the TRADOC history and the mission of TRADOC?
Oh, yes, SMA. Well, we've been celebrating our 50th year all year. So July, July of 1973, the command was stood up. But Sergeant Major also mentioned in 1973, a couple months after ours, Forces Command stood up, and 1973 was also the beginning of the all-volunteer force. So you bring those three together, I think you have, whether by coincidence or not, a really great nexus that has made our country, our Army, strong over the last 50 years, and I predict it'll do the same over. So long and short, 50 years old now, I will share something that I will share some ownership with, but every time we have an opportunity to talk to soldiers, leaders, classes, pre-command course, you name it, use a label called the first layer of bricks. And that first layer of combat readiness, that first layer of warfighting, my opinion, starts with what TRADOC does at every single echelon. Whether it's basic combat training, AIT, captains are going to the Obolik, sergeants, majors going to the SLC. That first layer of bricks, and just visualize it, Sergeant Major, I know you know this from your decades of experience, that first layer of bricks has no compromise. And if I had to pick two core missions, there's a lot we do. Train the most lethal soldiers our Army needs and develop the most lethal leaders, well-trained leaders that our Army needs in that first layer of bricks. And the rest of the warfighting foundation can be built upon that. So as a command, we owe that to the entire Army. We owe that to Forces Command. So they receive a soldier leader, they're ready to fight, ready to continue to be trained to become even better. And that's it for the most part of over the 50 years. And the command evolves, one, to meet the guidance of the secretary and the chief. And the command evolves to meet and beat the threats that the enemy is going to give us. And I can kind of put it that simply and talk a bit more. Of course, we help shape the culture of the Army, and working with Futures Command and others help build the future force. And that's very much a team effort. I could talk all day, but I'll give my panel buddy some time on
that. Well, let me say something real quick for you. You know, I was in the Army in 73. You know, I came in 66 and really during 73. We needed something because we came out of Vietnam. There was a lot of struggles with the non-commissioned officer corps and development and everything. The other thing, for the people who listen today, and I've said it already through the first part of the show, is the Army changed my life. I came into the Army as a poor young man, didn't have too much to go, but it allowed me to develop, to grow, to get my education, and to be successful, not just in the military, but also in after the military. So it's a good foundation, like you talk about, that foundation. It allowed me to have a solid foundation for my life. Sergeant Major, same question to you.
So we always take the moniker, and I'm glad the boss said it, because we talk about it all the time, is that, you know, TRADOC is the foundational building blocks of warfighting for the Army. It starts here. And we continue to sequentially and progress that over time through our education process. So, you know, as a recruit comes in, we teach them through basic combat training and AIT how to be a warfighter, right? Yeah. It's the basic building blocks of how to be a warfighter. And that's where I think the real marriage between TRADOC and ForceCon, the operational Army, really come together. So after we complete, you know, anywhere from our 22 weeks worth of training to, you know, 48 months worth of training based on MOS, how the operational Army and Forces Command, you know, really carry the rest of that water till we bring them back to the institution. And what we got to remember is that the TRADOC is the training institution, but it's only for short periods of time and duration without your career. And so part of that self-development, you know, the tools that we give to self-develop, the tools that we give to operationally develop and then institutionally develop all kind of have to come together symbiotically, you know, both sequentially and progressively also, to make sure that we build that warfighter of the future. And that carries all the way on until, you know, where you're sitting, where you're at right now, right? It never stops because we're always learning, we're always progressing, but it builds that professional conduct. It builds that ability to want to seek and be better in your life. So I think that's highly important. I think we in TRADOC are able to build that foundation within our, you know, the soldiers that we bring in, whether it's enlisted officer, warrant officer, all three cohorts.
Yeah, as you was talking, I was thinking about the people that are veterans that are listening to the show. And really, again, they're the foundation that you guys are stepping on right now, doing all those great things. But remember, all you veterans that are listening today, we help build the Army. Let's keep helping the Army each and every day. Don't forget that it's not just, you know, just because you get out, you're not there no more. You're still there, and you're still helping to do everything we can to make our Army better and better and better. So do that. Sir, recently, the Secretary of the Army said that the Army is going through a period of profound transformation. I would tell you they're always going through transformation. But would it be fair to say that strengthening the profession is one of the main focus in the areas of this transformation part here?
No, as the Sergeant Major, SMA would. And I'm going to use, and this isn't plagiarism, I'm actually going to quote the words of General George, our 41st Chief, is that the focus area assigned to TRADOC, the fourth of his three, underpins all the others. Warfighting, continuous transformation, delivering combat-ready forces, and strengthening the Army profession. And whether you call this strengthening the Army profession or just a profession, what's important to us, and I can tie this back to a previous response I gave you, in providing a very solid first layer of bricks. One, that's part of it, for the United States Army. I have to take that very, very seriously. And I know this is not the first time that the Army's looked at the profession, but there's some sound bites and touch points that the Chief got about a year ago, probably about this time now, as he was doing his transition to becoming the Chief last summer after General McConville. So we, one, coming out of the many global engagements that we've been on, hundreds of thousands of soldiers deployed. The recruiting challenges we had over the last 2 years, which continues to get better, and what appeared to be eroding trust both within the formations and within uniform, and then from the institution to the communities, to the families that have supported us. So this is a renewed look, some transformation that's very much necessary, and we as professionals look at that, Sergeant Major. And I would also offer every single soldier, regardless of the rank, takes an oath, and we have values as well. That's the difference between a time card job and being in a profession. We are in a profession. So it's important to strengthen the profession every way, shape, or form across the core metal task, warfighting readiness, being a warfighter that's a good person as well, one that won't tolerate any of those harmful behavior areas, of which I could talk to as well if we need to, that could just erode the cohesion we have in the Army. And that is how we continue to strengthen our profession while being good at your warfighting task.
Yeah.
There are a couple of initiatives we're looking at. It's that Sergeant Major and I always looking at what we do in our core mission, again, to deliver that first layer of bricks for the Army. The Chief has also asked us to reinvigorate and start up a professional writing program, which we're doing as well, called the Harding Project. And SMA, it's not just so much about writing. It's really encouraging that professional dialogue. And I've shared with a sergeant and a lieutenant, actually, who just finished a CTC rotation. Hey, tell us what it was like to draw your equipment and turn it in. Not for me. It's for your peers so they can continue to learn. And that's that professional dialogue. And then bring in what we do into the 21st century as well. Web-based cell phone-based journals, the professional glossy magazines that you and I saw as we were growing up. We can adapt, and we are adapting, just to bottom line, continue to keep our profession strong, play on the words. And it's very important that we do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Sergeant Major.
No, as you're talking, you're just pumping me up, sir. Keep it up.
We can reenlist you today, Sergeant Major.
No, you need to do that. Well, one of the things, you said a lot of great things there, but one of the things I want the honest to remember that each person that comes to the military knows that they raised their hand, said, I'll protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And quite frankly, we all know what that means is I'm willing to die for your freedoms. And people have been saying to me, and I got this from Sergeant Major Grinston, when I wear my hat all the time, because I'm proud of being a soldier. And they always say, thank you for their service. And I always say to them, back to them, again, Sergeant Major Grinson said that I love it. You're worth it. And this country is worth it. It's worth it for me to get out and give my life if I have to give my life for it. So I'm proud to be an American, proud to be a soldier, and proud to do all I can for the United States Army each and every day. Sergeant Major, can you tell our audience about, you know, what the role of the non-commissioned officer plays in supporting the strengthening of this profession there?
Definitely, SMA. And I would just want to underpin a little bit, even from the previous comics, that kind of really goes into it. You know, one of the things that we're doing and TRADOC and you know, we were charged to do for SMA Weimer was build the blue book. All right. And that's kind of one of the things that underpins a lot of the things that General Brito was talking about our oaths and reinvigorating kind of that commitment, that knowledge of this is why I joined. Here's your true purpose, you know, of life for joining the military. And so we're almost there. We've gone through a couple iterations, and we're going to talk about the purpose of service, the purpose of what this uniform means and why you wear it. Because I think that, as we all know, that's highly important, right, to kind of understand it. And that's what the NCO's charge is also in strengthening the profession or just enforcing the Army profession, right? And enforce is probably a strong word, because we want it to be a culture. We want people to commit to it. It's past the buy-in point. You have to be as a soldier part of the profession. And so the NCO's role is to really, you know, uphold the standards and discipline. Nothing has changed, you know, from when you joined the Army, SMA.
A long time ago.
Right. But it's the same. It's the same principles, you know, uphold the standards by enforcement, you know, enforce discipline, be a soldier's coach and mentor, not necessarily their mother, their father, their sister, their brother, but you're there to be their leader. But being their leader could have a lot of the same qualities of being a family member if you bring them onto the team and you truly care, CRE, for them. And that's kind of the point of leaders. You have to care. But to care, sometimes caring could come across as overly firm or something that person may not like to hear, but it's for the right reasons to make them a better soldier and a better person in life. And so our NCOs, along with our officers and warrant officers, we all hold this. This is all of our responsibilities together. And so we generally talk about, you know, the NCOs are the backbone of the Army. It's 100% true because we are with the troops all day, every day, all the time. But we can't do it without our officers and our warrant officers upholding those standards also, and having the back of the leaders, you know, providing that cover for the leadership to make those corrections as necessary. General George, you know, one of his things was when he was doing his transition was be able to provide backing for your leaders to correct deficiencies. Something, you know, paraphrasing a little bit there. But the point of that is that leaders got to have the moral courage to say, you're doing something wrong. As long as you fix it and you do it the right way, you know, that's legal, moral, ethical, doesn't violate anybody's safety. I got your back to make sure that you're okay. I think that's, you know, some of the things that we falter a little bit on. And so watching out for each other and making sure that we enforce the standards, enforce discipline, teach, educate, mentor, coach, make better soldiers every day. I just tell you that's what we do as leaders. It's inherent in us, you know, inherent in us. And I like, as you already know, I like talking about leadership. So So to me, that's kind of where I stand on, you know, how the NCOs help strengthen the profession. They just got to be present.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, SMA, if you'll allow me, I'd like to add just
sure,
a tad
go ahead, sir.
1,000% agree with my battle buddy said, but another piece of that, a great teamwork between non-commissioned officers and officers, and our Army has several thousand Army civilian professionals, very much part of the team. I think about 248,000 across the Army. Heck, I got 12,000 alone in this command. And so they get their professional education, especially if at the SES level, they wear their pins, and they're part of delivering this professional standards that Sergeant Major talked to as well. And you can back up the training that allows you to know the standard. I'll close with a corny quote that a Sergeant Major gave me many, many years ago. You can't expect what you don't inspect.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Absolutely.
And in a way, what he was saying, you have to know it before you expect it. And that meant a lot to me.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you something. I tell everybody all the time, the Army, the officer corps, non-commissioned officer corps is like this. We're in one all the way through because we have to go and be on the battlefield together to fight together. So the relationship that you have is really strong. The other thing I'll tell you is honest and fair and never walk by a mistake and don't correct it. And if you do, you just establish a new standard in the military. And I always thought that was more. And I lived by that all the way through my military career. So this is motivating me so much. This is a great day to celebrate the Army of Today. Sir, you talked about it already. We heard about the new initiative called the Harding Project that I'd like to dive into just a little more after our commercial break. Got to take a commercial break. So don't, please, I don't think I can tell the general. Maybe would you post listen to me? Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
I follow orders.
Okay, I love it. This is your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. And if you're enjoying this discussion, because we're talking about development, we're talking about our country, we're talking about what soldiers need to do on the battlefield, and these are the leaders that make sure our soldiers are ready to go, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below, and don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcasts. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with the TRADOC Command Team, General Gary M. Brittle, Commanding General, and CSM Raymond S. Harris, Command Sergeant Major. Before we jump back into our discussion with General Brittle and Sergeant Major Harris, I'd like to take a few seconds to tell you about a new program we're excited about called Your Next Mission VCS, a veterans community support program. We will provide personalized one-on-one support to address the unique needs within our veteran community through our many partnerships with other veteran service organizations. Please check us out at yournextmission.org/VCS and register to participate today. Remember, we want to help you with whatever your issues you and your family are facing. So please reach out to us. Sir, another of the Chief of Staff's main focus is professional writing through the Harding Project. And you talked about that just a minute ago. Could you tell me just a little bit more about it? Because I think it's really important for our audience to hear that.
Yes, SMA. It was very important. If I can give a little bit of context, is that we touched upon what the Chief learned, and I use that word purposely, on the multi-month transition that he had prior to becoming the Chief. And one of them was looking at some of the professional writing forums that we had to communicate and learn from. More importantly, how the Army can learn from, this professional dialogue and how we did it. And I touched on a few moments ago, and I know you saw them probably walking through what was Infantry Hall and other places at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
In Fort Knox, the glossy magazines. So we had a gap in how we communicated with them for a couple of reasons. One, all the stuff we were engaged on. But if I had to give you a bluff, and I do want to continue, this dialogue, professional dialogue, is necessary now because our Army is going to fight as part of a joint force, and we can learn from a lot of things. Not only professional lessons learned through the call center at Fort Leavenworth, but just with soldiers' engagement. So the bluff on the Major General Harding writing project, which is I would call a movement, not so much a project, my words in this case, to reinvigorate professional dialogue, also utilize technology. We can use web-based cell phone dialogues, and all of our professional journals are web-based now. Not to say it's going to replace the hard copy, but they are, in essence, to one, connect to the soldier we need now, but also push things quickly and receive things quickly, kind of broadly speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So the Combined Arms Center, working with the Army staff and West Point, some others in our great non-commissioned officer corps, is reinvigorating this opportunity to generate some professional dialogue. And just to give you a few more moments on that, even the chief himself digitally will recommend, hey, here's the things I'm reading, and here are the articles that have been written recently. It could be on use of UAVs. My team helped me. We published one not too long ago on the Army profession to promote what our Army is doing. So leveraging and improving web-based capabilities, creating a forum for dialogue amongst the soldiers' ranks, lessons we've been learning and things we're doing with exercise or combat in places in the world, and bring this professional discourse to give it a platform in the Army and how we're doing it. And I would also add that we've gone a step further and have identified officers, and we're looking at non-commissioned officers and civilians as well, to be the professionally assigned editor at our centers of excellence to manage these magazines, to manage the portfolios that soldiers can write into. That's being jump-started now, formally more this summer, and we may reach out and get to some professional education also, but I would highlight the great platform, our Army University at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, also providing some training to these editors that help manage these magazines or these writing forums, these web-based forums. So a really good effort. And I've already seen SMA, corporals writing articles, generals writing articles, sergeant majors writing articles, sergeants writing articles. And what we've learned informally, and maybe what we've learned just watching things going on in the world. So it's really a really good opportunity just to build our professional knowledge and base and discourse.
Let me say real quick here. The other thing you're doing here is you're preparing them for their next life after the military. You're making them a better citizen, and you're really putting them in a better position. So, you know, everybody's got to serve in the military and they love serving, but you're really putting a pretty solid foundation, which you talked about already, for the future, and you're making them grow. So that's really good. Sergeant Major, please, you want to add anything?
Thanks, SMA. And it is, right? It's a platform to communicate your thoughts of how you feel about something or an exercise that happened, right? And a lot of times, you know, leaders and soldiers just don't have that ability to do that. And so by providing this, you know, this writing through the Harding Project, or what we're about to do with the Nominous Sergeant Majors called the Muddy Boots Forum that the SMA Weimer is about to publish and put out, it allows us to communicate those things. Now, the SMA, we're going to do one called the Muddy Boots Forum, which is right directly in line with the Harding Project. But these are meant to be quick flash fire, you know, articles, 1,200, 1,300 words that go out that we could put out, not necessarily through a bunch of editors, but we could just kind of flash some things out. And it's actually unique because the question you asked me a little bit ago was the article that I'm writing right now. It's the critical role of a non-commissioned officer in strengthening the, you know, the Army profession. And so we're going to do that. It's really kind of two part. So one is to write an article and provide some thought questions, right? So as you're reading through this article, you're trying to ask yourself, am I exercising these principles of leadership? Am I doing something that's in line with this? Because we want to evoke thought with this also as the reader continues to read it. So we're kind of preloading some thought questions for them to think. And then the phase two of that is that, you know, we will go back and find a journal or an article that was written, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, kind of re-review that and say, hey, are these same principles relevant in today's Army going to 2030, 2040? And if so, why? If not, why? And again, it's about to, you know, sparking the professional discourse, expanding thought, getting outside of an echo chamber and saying, you know, let me really think about this. Is this the right way about how we're going about leading a soldier and or training a soldier and or a process or system, you know, that we kind of have in place to get to an effect? And so we're really excited about this. We're writing articles. We're going to do one together. And I think it's going to be great to see, you know, how the NCOs and the officers, how we just as leaders and soldiers really put ourselves out there to get our thoughts communicated to the force. Yeah. And I think that's really the impetus. And that's really what matters behind this project.
Yeah. I used to tell people when I was in the Pentagon, anytime that the chief puts out, not all articles, but anytime you're talking about the NCO Corps, it's important for both of you to put something out to let them see you as a team. The other thing is, I wish, I think as you're talking here, I when I came in the Army, we had McNamara's 100,000. We had some guys and gal, or just guys really at the time that came into service that really had a fourth grade education. A lot of them couldn't read or write. But because of the Army, they came in the Army and they ended up getting their high school diploma and master's degrees in some cases. So it really, I mean, the Army does so much for so many people. And I wish we could get that information out to, you know, middle America a lot, because they need to know that. And they need to know what the Army does each and every day. You know, Sergeant Major, the Army's Future Soldiers Prep Course, I want to talk about this, is really growing since it was first initiated. Can you talk about that program and its, you know, the significance and this, and what's in store for, you know, recruits for the future?
Definitely, yes, man. I know my battle buddy here will talk a lot about it too. It started almost 2 years ago now. We're over kind of over the 18-month mark of that starting now. And, you know, it was created and designed to help with the accession, you know, miss that we've had a couple years back. What we recognize is there's a lot of Americans out there that want to be soldiers. They just are falling short of the standards that we put out to say this is what you have to be a soldier. So when the program really kind of is meeting America where they're at and then helping them grow to meet the Army standards so we can help them reach their goal and purpose of being a soldier. Now, the greatness is that 95% of the people, the citizens that we put into this graduate and they increase either their line scores to pick an MOS or they meet heightened weight standards and physical standards to come into the Army. Again, key point is we did not lower a single standard to come into the military. But we're going to help you become a better American, or a better soldier by giving you this education, because we want people that want to be part of our team. So why not provide a resource to help them be part of our team? And they're going to make it or they're not. And what we see is, again, 95% of them are making it. And those that don't, I will almost guarantee we'll see them come back, because once we show them kind of what the lifestyle is of being a service member, and then they go back to, you know, what they were doing, they're probably going to be like, you know what? I think I need that. I think I need that in my life, because now I see direction. I see purpose of things that I can do. I see a team that I don't have back at home, and I can make this team be part of my new family to do this. We do two tracks. We do an academic track, which helps to increase line scores, to meet MOS requirements to serve and get an MOS. And then we have, again, like I said earlier, a physical, track that gets after their weight, gets after the physical fitness level. And it's interesting, as a soldier progresses through the physical one, they on average drop about 1.3% body fat a week. That's pretty good.
I need to ask.
We already said, establish it. You look pretty darn good, SMA. Whatever you're doing and drinking, yeah, you're
both
doing
a child. I try
to work out every day. I haven't did that much this week because I've been busy, but I usually do 1 hour a day, at least an hour, hour and 50 minutes a day, a little elliptical and a little bit of, you know, light weight, not much to weights in it, but I try to do every day.
But see, what you just said is the point. And so as we get these young men and women into especially our physical track of this, it's just to get them moving.
Yeah.
You know, some of our youth are lethargic as they sit on couches and play video games. And that's okay. That's just what they do. It's what they like. And it's okay. But we got to get them up and moving. And again, even if they're not here and they don't end up assessing into the military, you know, the byproduct is, again, maybe we made a better American. Maybe we helped them see a different way to live their life by showing them the proper nutrition, by showing them the right way to get up and exercise, by showing them the right way to research and maybe actually, you know, and apply themselves in an academic, you know, manner just to be more productive. And so for us, I think it's a win-win. You know, sir, I mean.
SMA, Sergeant Major hit all the great points and 100% agree. And I'll put stomp what he said. The Army has not lowered its standards for the type of soldier that we need to join from any part of America, which is great. I think we've just crossed 19,000, closing on 20,000 that have gone through this program. So just a couple of things I'll mention.
Good job.
It is a good, great thing. One, granted, we're I would say, over the hill past the challenges of COVID, but that did impact on the way that young men and women were learning and some of the physical things that they, the challenges they were having. So so we're over that in this conditional contract. But we as an institution, I mentioned in the very beginning, our first core mission, train the very best soldiers. This is another way to do it. And we've also noticed that some of them, once they go through the FSPC, the course, and then go on to BCT, are better equipped to hold student leader positions, and they're doing that and succeeding. And we're tracking who's going, how they're going to do on their first unit of assignment as well, impacts to attrition, the whole bit. So all in all, a very, very positive story, very, very positive initiative. I wouldn't even call it a story. And it's just giving those young men and women that opportunity to step up and succeed. And I would also offer one last thing, Sergeant Major, and Sergeant Major, my Sergeant Major hit it. If for some reason they don't make it, whether it's an injury or just a personal choice, we also treat them with dignity and respect as they go back home.
That's important.
They can come back in or be our ambassador. That's very, I've watched resume writing, all kinds of things. And we've been up there a couple of times to Fort Jackson to watch this. And there's several success stories. We don't have enough time for me to give them all to you. Soldiers who lost weight just succeeded. Some who gained weight because it's been muscle and they know how to sleep now.
Yeah.
But all in all, great stuff.
And as SMA, if I could just stop 2 points right
go
there.
Ahead.
Think about it. A little over 19,000. That's almost, you know, a division's worth of soldiers that we never would have had in the Army if we did not have this program. I mean, think about that. That is a combat division that is now in the Army that we never would have had. I mean, that's, when you put it in context, that's a lot. I mean, that is a lot of people. And the second one is, and you, I love that you just said that too, sir, is that when they leave, we also want them to still be our ambassadors. Even if they don't make it, they got to have a good experience of coming into the military, coming into the Army. And so, you know, they took care of me. Even though I didn't make it and they put it on themselves, I didn't make it. They treated me with dignity and respect and showed me something better. And I think that is a positive outcome of that program.
Yeah. Hey, SMA, I got to add one more thing.
Just one more thing. Go ahead, sir.
We have a great continued handshake relationship with recruiting command, always have. So they send down counselors and recruiters also to the future soldier prep course to talk to the soldiers about the opportunities that are there. Are you interested in being a cyber warrior? Well, you qualify to be. Here's what it's all about. You may want to be an infantry soldier. That's fine as well. So they'll learn about the Army way in a very controlled, positive environment. And we've also seen the value of inculcating that culture. And we're learning from this program as well. I could apply that to BCT, AIT, BOLIC, cadet summer training. So a learning institution, long and short.
Well, you'd be proud of me because probably over the last 20 years, at least once or twice a year, I help a young man or a woman get into the military because I get in the small company I have 3 recruiters that work in the company. So if I'm traveling somewhere, in fact, actually people have came to my door, knocked on my door. My son wants to go in the military. He's confused about, would you please help him? So I keep it. Hey, I think we've already talked about that, but we're probably going to talk about it a little bit more. Sergeant Sergeant Major, when we return, I want to talk about, you know, again, a little bit more about the Army's holistic health fitness system. We'll be right back after word here. Now, here's a word from 2 more of our organizations that helped this make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with the TRADOC Command Team, General Gary M. Brito and Commanding General and CSM Raymond S. Harris, Command Sergeant Major. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you. We want to address each and every one of them. So please, as I said before, reach out to me. Tell me what tell me what you want me to cover on the show. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll actually reach back out to you. How does that Army Holistic Health Fitness System support that? And sir, we'll start with you here.
Sure. Well, I know both of us are going to talk to that.
I know, absolutely.
I would throw this out. It is much more than a Beaver Fit box of weights and dumbbells.
Oh, yeah, sir.
It's much more than that. It is a lifestyle where you build a nexus and ask each individual and even the institutions to build a nexus of physical fitness, mental fitness, health and holistic fitness, religious fitness, whatever. And the components of PT, sleep hygiene, diet, education, all that rolls into it. I couldn't be happier where it's going. And when we're spreading this around all of our brigade combat teams, not only the equipment, which is a big part of it, but the specialists, when I say that, those who, the SMEs, whether it's uniformed or not, who can talk about the importance of nutrition, sleep hygiene, and ways to do it. And I would offer Sergeant Major, all of that SMA, all of that can be weaved into how we train, how we develop, how you spend time on the gunnery range, how you do recovery. Just make it part of the mindset, a behavior, a lifestyle on how we do things. And guys that are of the more seasoned age, like us two, need to learn it as well. See the importance of it. I would call it a true combat enabler. And I did not see it that way, I'll be truth and lending, about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, until I just sat back and looked at it. And the importance of, can I get 8 hours sleep versus six? Or use that 6 hours well? Or take some me time every now and then? And it makes you a better warfighter. And I'll stop there because I could talk all day about this. Very proud of what the team, the big Army,
absolutely,
to make this work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead. It is. It's a culture. It's a mindset, right? It's about optimizing human performance over time, under duress, not duress, all these things. And so when you can take all these dimensions, the five dimensions, and kind of bring them together, think about how your cognition, is affected because you have the right sleep, you have the mindfulness, you're thinking things in a different way. You're not, the old MRT is, you're not downward spiraling things because not everything's out of control because you can now think and control. And so when your sleep's good, your nutrition's good, you spiritually have purpose in what you're doing, and some of your social aspect of your life is good because, the relationships you have are flourishing. They're green. They're not red. Wow. Think about the power of a soldier we now have within the grasp of our formation to be able to do that. And so they all balance. And I tell, when this first came out, I don't want to say first, maybe a couple of years ago, I was thinking about, out of those dimensions, everybody has an anchor, right? And so my anchor dimension is physical. And I have to go to the gym. Even if I say I want to sleep in, my body wakes up at 5 o'clock and says, go to the gym and go work out for an hour and 15 minutes because you need to do it. But that's kind of my center, my grounding rod of my holistic health and fitness. But I need all the other four components to help me get to that point. So I got to be bent on time in order to get the right sleep. So when I do work out, I don't overstrain myself and I'm doing these things. I want to have the right nutrition. So, well, I don't get fat, right? you got to have all these things that are going to be complementary to each other to get you to where you need to be. And that's what this is about. It's optimizing that human performance throughout, all dimensions of strength, that we look at. And it's powerful, but it's only as powerful as leaders empower other leaders to get after this. In the Army, we've put a lot of resources against this. We're expanding our human performance teams to brigades exponentially, 21 teams next year, which will be awesome, and we get them out there. But units and organizations are seeing the value of soldiers going through this because it's reducing time away from the formation. All these other different things that keep soldier in the formation to go train and fight and win. And so what a powerful program this is. Like I said, we could talk forever about the effectiveness of H2S.
And SMA, I got to add one thing, two things. Always, I keep doing this.
No, go ahead.
That's how we do it, SMA. There's always one more.
I do the same thing.
I live right next door to him, so I can attest and validate that when I walk out at 5:30, he's already gone. So he's already moved to the gym. Telling the truth there. Hey, Sergeant Major, SMA, I'd like to also mention, and I touched that as a big Army initiative behind this, big support. So the big Army level, also looking at our dining facilities and the chow options, the food options that are offered, calorie cards, what's available for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, snacks, and other things. And pulling in some outside Army expertise to help us understand that. And the soldiers, one, support it, not just the soldier living in the barracks who might use a little less DoorDash and go to the dining facility, but see the importance of those healthy options, things available, grab and go to the night shift, and really some science behind it, which ultimately will help the soldiers as well. A very small piece of the full lifestyle that SMA, my Sergeant Major, is talking about. And I would say a clear improvement of what you and I may have seen in our much earlier years, to include how we do it in the field.
Yeah.
So this is a combat readiness multiplier.
Yeah. You know, I got a little app to my iPhone, and I count my calories every day. I probably lost about 15 pounds because I'm a snacker. You know, if I get a bag of cookies, I'll just inhale them. So I love them. Hey, first of all, let me tell you that, to both of you, thank you so much for what you're doing. And you're making a difference for our country, for young men and women in this country, to make them better people, but also preparing them for war if we ever have to go to war. The other thing I'll tell you is that, you know, this, I tell everybody, I'm the host, but this is your show. So if you have somebody within TRADOC that you think that we ought to get out to our audience and talk about these issues, let us know, because we'd love to bring them on their show, because this is important for us to educate our country about the kind of sacrifices our military make for them each and every day. Again, thank you so much for coming to the show. And unfortunately, I wish I could talk to you a lot longer. I'm going to ask you for some final thoughts. Anything you want to add that maybe you forgot about? And sir, I'll ask you first. I'll go to Sergeant Major. I know you want to come back to you again, but we can do that. Sir, we'll start with you. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to share with the audience?
Well, this time I promise I won't say
one more thing. No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Now, SMA, first of all, thank you for the opportunity. And as we go into this next birthday and then move towards the next year, the 250th birthday,
yeah. Yes, sir.
I would highlight our Army Center for Military History is going to lead a campaign to showcase all that the Army has done and will do up to, I guess, this 250 next year or so. But Sergeant SMA, my closing point is, and in all seriousness and all sincerity, I couldn't be more happy at this point to be on a really, really good team. And I'm not saying that just as a yellow bumper sticker. Working hard with all of our fellow ACOMS, Forces Command, AMC, AFC, all the ASEs, towards being combat ready, make sure our Army's combat ready to fight as part of the joint force. Actually, it isn't much more than being combat ready. That's it. We have an Army for that. And to build a strong Army, work closely with the families, give opportunities for all the soldiers. That's why I'm still serving. I know that's why he's serving. It couldn't be any better. And I thank you for the opportunity. And we'll take you up on the invitation to a follow-on podcast.
Well, the second thing is you guys come back too. Sergeant Major, how about your final thoughts?
SMA, thanks. And as always, thanks for having us. It's always good talking to you. And appreciate the time we spent together doing this. And I know I'll see you again here soon. Yeah, I mean, General Berto hit it. It's about war fighting. It's about being ready. That's why the Army exists, you know, and that we explain that, like I said, in the Blue Book, to say that is our purpose. That is why we are here. And just know that America needs to be proud and should be proud of what their sons and daughters are doing every day and have done for the past 249 years to defend this country and this great nation against aggressors. And we're going to continue to do that. And we're committed. So we just really appreciate it. We appreciate our soldiers, appreciate our leaders, appreciate our veterans, you know, that we're standing on their shoulders and continue to support us, and that continue to, you know, be the ambassadors, as you stated earlier, and, you know, you do yourself, is to help other Americans join our team and be part of the United States Army. So thanks, SMA. Appreciate you, and look forward to next time.
Well, first of all, it's tradition in our show to cut a cake. Now, you guys got to help me out. You got to show the audience how pumped up you are now. What I'm going to do in a second, I'm going to get out, get my saber, and I'm going to cut the cake. But here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, And when I cut the cake, I'm going to cut that. I'm going to get after it now. You got to give me a go, Army, hoo-ah, real loud, okay?
You got it, SMA.
Don't be wimpy about this. You guys been pretty aggressive all day.
I want to see you break the table, okay?
All right, here we go. All right, get ready. 1, 2, 3.
Go, Army, hoo-ah!
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Hey, thanks again for coming to the show, and thanks again for what all of you do and continue to do. And again, from this old soldier, if I can ever help you, please let me know. Please let me know. God bless each and every one of you.
Thanks, SMA. Be safe.
Be safe. Thanks to General Brito and Sergeant Major Harris for being with us today. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been enjoying Your Next Mission Video Podcast, and thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And we just added a new job board in partnership with Recruit Military, where you can search for a job that's just right for you. Please go and watch. Please go to the website to watch a short video that will help fine-tune your search and where you can recreate your own personal profile. You can follow me on all my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to General Brito and Sergeant Major Harris for joining us today. And I would just simply tell you, this is our birthday. This is our day. And be proud of who you are. Wear your hat. Show your colors. Tell people I served in the military. But also, don't forget, you're a soldier for life. You'll always be a soldier. If you spent time in the service, go back, wear your colors, do whatever you got to do. But remember, this is our birthday. It's a day that we celebrate, that we thank the people that we've fought for so many years. And so go out there and be proud. Stick your chest up. Say hooah. Sing the Army song. Do whatever you want to do. But it's our day. It's our Army birthday. Thanks for watching. And thanks to New Mind students. And of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.